to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday, June 12th, 2010. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined in studio tonight by my co-host, Keith Alexander. We are sitting here inside the comfortable confines of AM 1380, WLRM Radio, Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. We are simulcasting on the Internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. It has been a wild and rowdy week. The last 7 days have been incredibly exciting, and it all started a week ago tonight. In fact, a week ago at this very moment when we kicked off our broadcast of last week, June 5th, live from Nashville at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference, we interviewed, Keith, it had to have been 15 guests and some very big names. Of course, Keith, you had the evening off last week. You didn't make the trip to Nashville, but Bill Rowland was there co-hosting with me as we interviewed the likes of Gordon Baum of the Council of Conservative Citizens, talk radio host Derek Black, Sam Dixon, the popular speaker and author, Dr. Roger Devlin, Keith, one of your favorites, Paul Fromm of Canada, Bobby Lee, host of Conspiracy Facts on AM 1340, WTAN in Tampa, Florida, the political strategist Roan Garcia Quintana, Dr. Tom Sunich, Don Wassel of Cast Football and the American Nationalist Union, and last but not least, Tim Adams, the former chief elections clerk, the former senior elections clerk, let's get our facts straight here, of Honolulu, Hawaii during the 2008 presidential election. He came on out of nowhere to provide evidence that has been confirmed that there was no birth certificate for Barack Obama, at least in so much as the evidence has been confirmed that he did work for the Hawaii Divisions of Elections as a clerk in 2008. All of this has been confirmed by the government of Hawaii, by their Division of Elections. Whether or not he's telling the truth that there was no birth certificate, well, I'd like to believe him because everything else he said has proven true so far. But this, nevertheless, has made national news, Keith. We were working with WorldNet Daily this week, a big story they broke about the evidence that Tim Adams brought forward on our program, exclusively on the Political Cesspool and Liberty News Radio. All that a week ago tonight, we launched the book. Of course, we were in Nashville at the council conference to launch the book, Racism, Schmacism, my new book, How Liberals Use the R-Word to Push the Obama Agenda. Keith, all of that happened and more all in the last 7 days. It's been a busy week here in the Political Cesspool.
Well, I know your head must be spinning because mine is. You know, it's absolutely incredible that Tim Adams story, you know, who was just one of the people attending the conference. And, of course, everybody that is really a paleoconservative should find their way to make it to at least one Council of Conservative Citizens conference because they truly are the most effective grassroots organization open to membership to the general public that espouses a paleoconservative populist viewpoint and really gets traction. But that Tim Adams story, you know, WorldNet Daily and all of these other mainstream conservative groups jumped all over it. And, you know, there's really no way to refute what Tim Adams was saying, but it's amazing how the silence is deafening from the mainstream media. The mainstream media is not going to let a little thing like the United States Constitution and its requirements, its explicit, clear requirements for what you have to do to qualify as a candidate for President of the United States get in the way of the liberal juggernaut. They're going to, you know, this is just something to be ridiculed. You know, people that want the Constitution adhered to regarding who can be a legitimate candidate for the office of President of the United States, they're birthers. They're right-wing lunatics. It's incredible.
Well, we're going to talk more about this story and this gentleman, Tim Adams, during the second hour tonight. Last week was so big in the history of this radio program that we're going to have to spend a great deal of the show tonight just recapping it. During this first hour tonight, Keith Alexander and I are going to take a more in-depth look at my new book, which, of course, went on sale to the general public a week ago tonight on June 5th. And we're going to be examining that book in a little more depth. Of course, it's available for sale tonight. If you want more information, go to racismbook.com, www.racismbook.com, and be among the many, many hundreds of people who have bought the book in the first week of its release alone. Sales have exceeded expectations. A lot of momentum behind this. If you do a Google search for racism, smashism, James Edwards, you'll see a lot of great reviews. We're going to be talking about some of that during this first hour. We will be talking more in the second hour when Winston Smith slides into the co-hosting chair about the Tim Adams birth certificate story that broke right here on the Political Cesspool. As I mentioned, I was networking with Joe Kovacs, the executive news editor at World Net Daily this week. They circulated the story, and they came to us for the scoop because the scoop was broken right here. And Tim Adams is no kook. Again, we'll be examining this also in greater detail in the second hour. But Tim Adams is a teacher at Western Kentucky University working on his master's. Very much credible, not a crackpot. Of course, if he's a fan of this show, what would you expect? He's obviously going to be a professional. He's obviously going to be someone with a good head on his shoulders. And everything he has said so far that has been fact-checked has checked out. Now, more on that story again during the second hour, but just to recap before we move on to a more to give you more information about the book, because we really didn't have time, even though the book debuted last week. We had so many people there at the conference, so many guests. We had 15 guests on the show last week in rapid fire interviews. We really didn't have a lot of time to really focus on the book, but we will be doing that this hour. But if you missed the show last week, go to the archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org and listen to that 3 hours. We were flanked on all sides by screaming and enthusiastic fans as Bill and I delivered another live and unrehearsed installment of this talk radio program. It was the second live remote in the history of the show. This time it came from Nashville, Tennessee, from a posh ballroom there near the banks of the Cumberland River. They weren't overflowing that night, but the enthusiasm of the crowd certainly was. A lot of great guests, a lot of great people. You can hear all the hooping and hollering and whistling and catcalling. Great energy in that room, and I want to thank all of the people that were there to make that show so special and so memorable in the history of our program. Now, there were some technical difficulties. We had a poor internet connection. We weren't in our studio last week. We were on the road. We were in Nashville. The equipment isn't obviously as good as if it would have been if we were at home in our home studio. I think the first hour had some technical difficulties where we kept losing internet connection. We rectified that problem for the most part over the second and third hours. But even so, it's not anything that compromises the integrity of the broadcast. There's just a couple of skips here and there. But you don't miss much. And we encourage you to get it and listen to it again at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You'll hear all those guests, all those fans, all that news, and the news, of course, includes the Tim Adams birth certificate explosive testimony that originated right here from the cesspool. Keith, this program remains a show of record. It remains one of the biggest places to go to for news of the paleoconservative right, and we're very proud of our reputation, and Tim Adams is just another gentleman who helped to get this show another splash of national attention.
Well, you know, Tim Adams is not the first national news story we've broken into the news media. Quite frankly, people like us are indispensable to the mainstream news media and particularly to the conservative mainstream news media. If it were not for the work that James and the other people associated with the cesspool do and other groups like us, quite frankly, a lot of these stories would never come to light. So I think we serve a very valuable purpose in the larger scheme of things, James.
Well, and you know what's so interesting, Keith? Tim Adams was only on this show for 5 or 6 minutes out of a 3-hour broadcast, and he was somewhere in the middle of it. And while we will be talking about this in greater detail in the second hour, I got to tell you, you know, for 5 minutes of this show, I mean, people really listen to this show intently. It was put up on YouTube by an anonymous third party. I'm assuming just a listener of this program called that. Put it up on YouTube. Had 20,000 views within the first 2 days. Got caught on by WorldNet Daily and so many others. A lot of attorneys have been contacting us this week asking to get in touch with Mr. Adams. They want to put him as part of their case. this is something, and I hope that he will continue to speak out and step forward if this is indeed true. But like I said, everything so far about his story has been proven accurate. So we'll talk more about that in the second hour. But for 5 minutes of an interview, in the middle of a show that lasted 3 hours, in the middle of a circus-like atmosphere of that live audience, to have caught on and to have spread like wildfire, it has really gone viral on the Internet. This show is certainly something that people pay close attention to. We're going to be talking more about that and more when we come back. We're going to be talking about my book. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be...
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. More on the council conference of last week in the second hour. More on Tim Adams and the latest in the Barack Obama birth certificate story in the second hour. But now let's talk about something else that happened this week, and that is, of course, the release of my brand new book, my first book, Racism, Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R-Word to Push the Obama Agenda. And of course, Keith, this was the reason we were up in Nashville last week doing the live remote, speaking at the council conference, was to promote this book, to launch its premiere, and it went over so well. It exceeded all expectations, and it got the kind of reception that I was really, really hoping for. And of course, the reason I wrote it is because I'm absolutely fed up with the conservative movement spinning its wheels and never going anywhere. We've always talked about these Tea Party groups and other protest rallies that hope to make a powerful statement, hope to make a big difference, but they spend most of their time listening to their leaders insisting that they aren't racists. But once you've read this book, as we've said before, you'll understand why this occurs. You'll understand exactly how to solve that problem. The liberals think they have a surefire way to stop conservative activists, to stop white conservative activists, I should say, dead in their tracks, and they do it by throwing around the R word like it's confetti. And for whatever reason, our people have empowered the cultural Marxists to be able to strike this paralysis within us. We get derailed. We start engaging in an unwinnable and never-ending debate over whether or not we're racist, and we talk about it so much that we absolutely get nothing accomplished. In fact, we move backwards. And so this book is going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that in today's modern terminology, with today's definition of the word, racist simply means white person. Racism is anything a white person does that liberals or minorities don't approve of. And once you start understanding this, you can be a part of the solution. You can be a part of something that will begin to build a movement that can win again. And there's so... Keith, you read the book. There's so much in this book. I'm not a shameless self-promoter, but I am very proud of this book. We spent 8 months working on it. It is absolutely professionally done. It looks so sharp. It looks like anything you would find at Barnes & Noble or only the finest retailers. It's something that's going to look very nice on your bookshelf. It's something I'm proud of. That's why I feel confident coming on the show and talking about it, even though it is my product. But I'm not going to ask anyone to do something that I haven't done. I am going to ask everyone in this audience to support the Political Cesspool Radio program by buying my book. And you can buy it at racismbook.com. But when I say I'm not going to ask anyone to do something that I haven't done, I was the first person to buy this book. I do not have a free copy of this book. I wrote it, and I paid to buy my copy. I wanted to do that. I paid for my parents' copy. I paid for your copy, Heath. No freebies for me. If I support this work, if I'm proud of this work, I'm not going to ask the audience to do something that I'm not willing to do. I paid for my copy. I want people to support this work and support this radio program. But, Keith, what did you think about the book?
You know, when I first saw it, you were commenting about how professionally done and well done it is. I looked down and said, it's almost too slick. It looks like one of these things that you see from, you know, one of these mainstream guys like Sean Hannity or whatnot. But that is good. Read it, get inside of it, and I guarantee you it has nothing in common with anything that Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or Michael Savage or any of these other mainstream agitprop people would produce. This thing right here, I guarantee you, if Sean Hannity read this book, he would be laying on the floor with his aides trying to revive him with smelling salts.
Because, well, if Rand Paul had read this book, more importantly, he would have been able to come out of that Rachel Maddow interview a lot better. We've gotten a lot of great reviews, Keith, as you know, and a lot of them are on our website tonight. Kevin McDonald, Richard Spencer of Alternative Right. Richard Spencer wrote that this book is a gateway drug. He was very high on the book, and when he says that, what he means is that it really packs a powerful punch. It is explicitly pro-white, but it's very tastefully done. But it strikes a balance in such a way that it's certainly going to be a lot of red meat for our regular listeners. But it's written in such a way that it can also be given to your more, let's say, establishment conservative friends, but it will serve as a tool that will inevitably bring them over into our paleo-conservative movement. And that's really what I wanted. I wanted it to be a book that it could appeal to our audience because, you know, they're the ones who we do everything for.
Well,
but I also
wanted
it to be a way that we can expand and broaden our audience by being something that could be read and understood by the people who have not yet made their final evolution over here. And I think we get that done.
Well, it bridges a gap in a lot of ways. And, you know, the racism word is a great thing to start with, James. It's actually a cultural Marxist construct. We've talked about cultural Marxism many times on this show. And the primary technique used by the cultural Marxist is critical theory. And it's like a play on words. What is the theory? The theory is to criticize. They criticize, criticize, criticize relentlessly, never tell you where they stand. And they never concede any value or any goodness whatsoever in the people that they're trying to demonize. That's what the racist word is. It's a way to basically shut down any potential budding sense of white racial solidarity and smother it in the cradle.
Well,
that's
racism,
what they intend to do.
The word racist itself is, by its very origin, a Marxist construct. And we know that. And I think this book empowers people with the tools necessary to disarm the socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. They won't be scared of being called racist anymore. And we tell them how they should answer these baseless charges and, more importantly, why. All that's in the book. But, Keith, you read it cover to cover. It's a real page-turner, I think. It's something that people are going to remember for a long, long time.
It's
be very impactful in their political activism. What parts of the book did you find most striking, if I may be so bold to ask?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, your dismantling of the good mainstream conservative people who seem just as intimidated by the word racism as liberals. You know, we have here in Memphis a Tea Party guy, and I'm not going to name him by name, but whenever a liberal criticizes the Tea Party movement, rather than saying the race, because it's populated by a bunch of white people and therefore must be a racist organization, rather than telling them that they're all wet, his response is that he immediately goes out and tries to recruit a few pliable blacks that are willing to be photographed with him and say, look, we're really not racist after all. Look at this black person. Look at this Hispanic person. That just shows you the extent to which people are cowed by this construct. And it's basically like the emperor's new clothes. What white people need to do when they're charged with being a racist is to do what Jews do in Israel when they're accused of being hypocritical about the treatment of Palestinians versus their advocacy for the treatment of blacks in America. What you need to say is, so what? It's water off a duck's back. This is a, you know, all that racist means in today's parlance is that you are a white person. Only white people can be racist. You brought that out, and I think that's, it's a reductionist type of argument. When you understand how absurd the term has become, it's incredible that anybody could be intimidated by it.
Well, Keith, of course, I couldn't agree with you more. And just I'm holding the book in my hand right now. It's the only copy I've got left. We have absolutely sold out of our first shipment from the publisher. We've got a new shipment coming in middle of the week, and that shipment's already sold out. So if you want to be a part of the momentum, come on, people. Get on board. Racismbook.com. Keith Alexander are going to be talking a little bit more about its contents as this first hour rolls on right after this.
The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
www.racismbook.com. I've got a great two-for-two for you here, ladies and gentlemen. When you buy this book, you're not only getting a book that can be make a very positive impact on your own political activism. It makes a great gift for friends and family members that you would like to see more conservative. But it also helps keep this show on the air. So not only are you getting a great book, you know that the money that you're investing, the nominal fee that you're investing, is going to help keep this program on the air. Richard Spencer of Alternative Right writes this in his review. James Edwards, the congenial and insightful host of the Political Cesspool radio program, has just released his first book, Racism Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R-Word to Push the Obama Agenda. I read the book in manuscript, liked it a lot, and wrote a back cover blurb. I suggest that all alternative right readers pick up a copy of Racism Schmacism, or better yet, get a couple of copies and give them to your viscerally conservative friends and relatives. You know, the type of people who listen to Rush Limbaugh, maybe even read WorldNet Daily and are staunchly patriotic, but have a sneaking suspicion that something has gone horribly wrong with their country, even if they can't articulate what it is exactly. The power of the R-word, as James points out, can't be underestimated. John McCain was willing to lose an election lest he be called a racist, which would have resulted if he took Obama to the mat. Large corporations, even ones unable to turn profits, are willing to spend billions on diversity training and hire untold number of unqualified people so as not to appear as bastions of white supremacy. The R-word is tossed around constantly at the elite levels of business, media, and academia, of course, but then the term wouldn't have nearly as much power as it does if it didn't hold a certain power in the minds of the average white American, whom the elites can count on to cower and pull at their forelocks whenever racism is uttered. Richard Spencer writes this in conclusion in his review of my book. Many in the alternative right community are interested in secession, radical traditionalism, political orders other than welfare, democracy, and more. It's important to remember that none of these are possible until normal Americans begin to understand that the racism charge is a tool used to attack them and denigrate Western heritage. It isn't about fair play. The R-word is, in many ways, the spearhead of contemporary social engineering. For these reasons and more, Racism Schmacism is an important book and a powerful gateway drug. Keith Alexander, some of the topics we discuss, in the table of contents include this post-racial paradise that Barack Obama was supposed to usher in, how John McCain isn't a racist, but he's still a racist, the nation of cowards, we really tear into Eric Holder in this, how poking fun at Obama is racist, how racism is everywhere. We talk about the Republican Party, how they keep seeking the pot of black Republicans at the end of the rainbow. We give you never-before-heard information about Jeremiah Wright and the Trinity United Church of Hate, provide some bizarre examples that pass for racism in this day and age, including bananas, ham sandwiches, cotton balls, and more. Some things that are racist and some things that aren't. And finally, a conclusion, where do we go from here? Keith, where from that table of contents would you like to start?
Let me say this first, based on what you were saying at first. Richard Spencer described this as a gateway drug, and I think that's important for people in this audience to understand. This book is going to be very entertaining, very informative and very appealing to the normal people that listen to the political cesspool. But this book was made affordable at $14.95 or whatever it is now for a reason. This is the type of book you need to buy 5 or 10 copies of and give to your vaguely conservative friends to try to get them out of the Hannity, O'Reilly, Limbaugh rut, Glenn Beck rut, and into really effective thinking about what is necessary to turn this boat we call the American culture around. That's why you need this book. Now, you point out how that this has permeated all sorts of American activities. In fact, it even caused John McCain to basically throw the last presidential election. He was scared to death of being called a racist. I think if somebody had called him a racist, it would have been like throwing water on the Wicked Witch of the West and the Wizard of Oz. He would have just melted. I remember him coming to Memphis one time in Republican stronghold of Tennessee, which he wasn't very much interested in, apparently. He came to go to the National Civil Rights Museum and grovel at the feet of black Democrats who were booing and hissing throughout his speech with tearfully and quavering voice apologizing for not voting for the Martin Luther King holiday, federal holiday, back in the early 80s in the Carter administration. This shows you exactly the power of the term racism. And he basically threw the election, didn't he, James? You there, James?
Yeah, continue on, Keith. I'm listening.
I was saying he basically threw the election.
Well, you know,
because he would not take the gloves off and go after Obama.
The plan from the beginning, because we know that both parties are owned and operated by the same machine. But if it was in fact his campaign strategy to conduct himself in such a manner, no one could have scripted a better recipe for failure than what the McCain campaign did. And we talk about that in the book. I mean, we really lay it out there in such a way that you're not going to find in many other publications, if any. I think this book really has no peer when it comes to mocking the racism industry, when it comes to really pointing out that this emperor has no clothes and there's no reason to be afraid of these accusations and character assaults anymore. And you mentioned, Keith, earlier, rightly so, that this is a book that you can certainly give to your more moderate or establishment conservative friend, and it almost will surely serve as a tool that will get them further over into the America First or paleoconservative camp. But it's also a book, and this is, I think, the genius of it, why it took me 8 months to write it, is that it's also a book that will cater to the most intelligent and informed political cesspool regular listener. If you've listened to this show every broadcast for the last 6 years, and you know just about everything there is to know about what this book seeks to address, you will still get some more information that will reconfirm and embolden your already
it's got great talking
instincts.
Points, James.
There's something here for everyone.
That's what I would say about it.
Even then, you can give it to them and just to offend them. But
what
again,
it does,
a nice balance has been struck here. But we talk about much more than just John McCain, right, Keith?
Right. We talk about a lot more than him. It's got great talking points. If for nothing else, you could get this book, become familiar with the examples that are put in it, and it will give you an instant rebuttal on every permutation of American life in which you might want to either try to moderate conservative or contradict a liberal on the issue of racism. Now, you know, we've talked about John McCain, the Republican Party generally, and how they pandered to people who are never going to vote for them and absolutely not only disregard, but they revile and rebuke their natural base, white people, because they're so mortally afraid of being considered racist. And what is racist? What is racist going to do? Racist has now become so ubiquitous that it basically, as you point out time and time again, it means a white person. It's just like George Orwell back in the 30s said the word fascist was so overused by the left that when somebody called Jones a fascist, he concluded that all it really means is I don't like Jones. That's the same way with racists. Now, the Republican Party opened up the door for Obama by insisting on running a black guy against Obama in the Illinois senatorial race. They got Alan Keyes, a carpetbagger, shipped him in from Maryland because they were so intent upon making America elect a black senator, because there were none at the time. And why? Because they've totally drunk the Kool-Aid on this race issue, and particularly they were mortally afraid of being accused of being racist. Instead, they invented Frankenstein's monster. He took over the political landscape, and, I mean, he is going full speed ahead in overdrive to put this country into a socialist mode, all because of fear of the word racism.
Well, Keith, you know, this is, when more people understand what you're talking about there, the quicker a turnaround can occur. And I tell you, people are hungry out there for this book. We thought it would do well if it just sold to the base of listeners, the core audience of this radio program. But if you do a search on the internet, you'll see that it is just getting rave reviews. It's available on Amazon. Of course, we ask that you purchase it from our website, racismbooks.com. But it's getting a lot of reviews. We're going to talk about one more of them when we come back right after this.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
It's been an exciting week. We've been on an aggressive book promotional tour. I've done about a dozen radio broadcasts since the last time we were on the air here on the political cesspool, various stations across the country. And the book is being very well received, both inside and outside of our own circle of friends. But speaking of our sphere of influence, Kevin McDonald, the venerable Dr. Kevin McDonald, professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, he read the book this week and had this to say in his review. Racism Schmacism is well written, very entertaining, but also very fact-based. There are numerous references to news events and articles if readers are interested in further information. The book recounts a series of incidents that collectively show that white Americans have become cowering fools, terrified of being labeled a racist. There are also hilarious accounts of whites caving into political correctness, hilarious if they didn't show the depths to which white people have sunk in their abject, craven cowardliness. The federal hate crime investigation into a kid who ate a ham sandwich in school. The mayor who prohibited white police officers from eating bananas on duty. But this fear of offending aggrieved minorities and other darlings of political correctness has a very real consequence. It is the ultimate weapon of the left, and James Edwards shows that it is being used to shut down free speech. Organizations like the SPLC and the ADL use the R-word very liberally to prevent the expression of ideas they don't like. As he notes, an ever-increasing number of articles in law reviews and academic journals make the argument that the First Amendment doesn't protect hate speech. This book, while entertainingly written, has a deadly point. White people will be utterly defeated unless they can summon the courage to adopt an explicit identity as white people and an explicit concern about their interests. We have to get over being terrified of being called a racist. The fact is that everyone has ethnic interests, including people of European descent. A great many of other identifiable groups in multicultural America have a strong sense of ethnic identity and interest. Only white people cower in fear of asserting their racial identity and interests. We have to be able to stand up proudly and explicitly assert our white identity and white interests. James Edwards' book is definitely a step in the right direction. Keith, that's Kevin McDonald, and coming from Kevin McDonald, we take that as a very, very high compliment.
Absolutely. Kevin McDonald is one of our heroes. I think we got involved with him pretty early on. We've always gotten the top thinkers in the paleo-conservative sphere on this show. But what it tells you, basically, is that racism and charges of racism and the non-diplomat racist is a act of hate against white people. And you need to understand that and take that to heart because, you know, what we were talking about before the show, everybody in this listening audience needs to look at their hand. And if that's the hand of a white person, racism is telling you that the new establishment in America, the new culturally dominant group, it used to be the counterculture of the 60s, now it's the dominant culture of today. The dominant culture of the 60s is now the distant culture of today. That's what we're a part of. They're telling you they hate you. And if they hate you, they hate your ancestors, you know, your like your father, your grandfather, and whatnot. That's why they have this attack on white history and on the standard history of the United States and of Europe. But furthermore, and more importantly to most of the people in this audience, they hate your children and grandchildren. And if they can make things tough enough on white people so that we don't reproduce, and we know that the white birth rate is down below replacement levels in Europe and is very nearly there in America, while non-white population is exploding, you know, it's really not that far-fetched to see that the ultimate end of all this could very well be white racial genocide. If you want to see the end game, look at Zimbabwe and South Africa. So let's wake up. That's what this book is. It's a wake-up call. James is like a Paul Revere trying to make people understand that this is not just a bunch of silliness that we can ignore and forget about. This stuff is deadly serious. We were talking about deadly serious, Jeremiah Wright. You know, he was Obama's pastor for 20 years, and his church is nothing but a fountain of anti-white, honky-hating propaganda. And if the term racist had any objective meaning, Jeremiah Wright would be denounced as one of the primary racists in the world, but it was we were all corrected very early on in the Obama campaign. The criticism of the Trinity United Church of Christ and Reverend Wright was off limits because to do so would show a shocking lack of sensitivity to black culture and would label you a racist. If he's not a racist, and then on the other hand, fairly recently, liberals like Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann were denounced as racist, you know, that's all the proof you need. Being a racist is being a white person. And if you're not a hater, if you're not somebody who is truly a bigot, then you just basically need to understand that this whole line of thought is totally invalid. And you just need to, it's like having a light bulb go off over your head. Just say, so what? You know, it makes no difference, and then just go ahead. If they can't get a rise out of you, then the whole psychological conditioning program that they have falls apart. And that's what needs to happen before, so that white people develop a true sense of racial solidarity, just like every other racial and ethnic group, and begin to stand up for their own interests, James.
Keith, we spend the bulk of the book absolutely defanging the racism industry, mocking it to an extent, but also highlighting the seriousness of the threat that it poses. And then in the final chapter, we give you the solution. And more importantly, we give you the answer as to why that solution should be implemented. Now, I'll give you just a taste of it here. We spent, you know, a great deal of real estate in the book spelling out in detail that racist is simply a slur that liberals use against conservative white people. Don't deny it. Don't argue with them, and don't try to prove to them you're not a racist when these attacks occur. These attacks will occur if you are a conservative white activist who is producing any fruit whatsoever. If you are even nominally effective, they will shout you down as a racist
like
in hopes
Olbermann
that you will cower back
Matthews
into your cave and no longer engage them on the battlefield. Don't deny it. Don't argue it. Don't try to prove them wrong. Just laugh in their face and then counterattack by pointing out how European Americans in this country just want a level playing field, and that it is the minority groups who want racist preferences like affirmative actions and quotas and set-asides. Tell them they're obsessed with race instead of what's best for our country. Expose their bigotry and anti-white racism as they seek to portray all conservative white Americans as racists. Most importantly, never let them get to you. Never feel guilty for who you are or where you came from. And when enough of us start doing that, Keith, we can start taking our nation back. And this book lays it out how you can do it. It gives you the confidence and courage to move forward. It will not only encourage you, it will encourage your friends and family member and perhaps bring them into our movement as well. I am asking you, ladies and gentlemen, as a personal favor. We have been doing this show for 6 years now. We have finally written the first book. I'm proud of it. I need you to support it. I am asking you, man to man, to go to racismbook.com and support the Political Cesspool radio program. Support my show by buying my book. I'm asking that of you as a personal favor. I very rarely do it. I don't like doing it. But we need you to support this radio program. We need this book to do well. You'll love it. You will love it. And it is priced to sell at racismbook.com. If you support this show, if you like this show, you're a fan of this show, I'm asking you to stand with us now. This book is hot off the press, just came out a week ago, and we want to prove to the anti-white establishment that has attacked us for over half a decade that our program has a powerful listening audience, and they will stand with us when we ask them to do so. Go to racismbook.com tonight, racismbook.com. Read more about this book. If Keith and I haven't covered it in this first hour, there's some more information about the book there. And at the bottom of the page, you can buy it tonight. We'll package it right away. It'll be sent to you. Be a part of the growing army that is ordering this book, and you can do it safely and securely via credit card, or there's information about sending in a mail-in order at racismbook.com. I'm asking you for a favor, ladies and gentlemen, a personal favor to me and to this radio program. Check out the book. I appreciate
it. It's going to be a great thing, James, for the people that buy it, because it is a way to finally break through to those vaguely conservative friends and acquaintances we have and get them to, ramp it up, a little bit and become really effective advocates against liberalism.
Keith Alexander, my friend, thank you for sharing this hour with me as we talk more about the book. We got much more to come in the second hour as we shift gears with Winston Smith. Stay tuned, everybody.
Comes your way right after these messages.
Harv leaped to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. Jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.